through the new House Labor and Commerce Committee with our newest member of our reoccurring cast, Mr. Finkelstein, and also President of Representative Lynn Boyer and Donnelly, and today we have a guest star from the other body. Senator Jelinski's here on Senate Bill 174.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just very briefly on the bill, it's a simple bill but has received three committee referrals on this side, so I really appreciate your having it. Senate Bill 174 would correct a disparity between what happens with the state chartered banks and the nationally chartered banks. There's no time limit on letters of credit that are issued by the nationally chartered banks, but the state chartered banks have been limited to 1 year. And this causes state banks to have to reissue letters of credit each year, which is time-consuming and an unnecessary procedure, while the nationally chartered banks are not hindered by that requirement. You do have in your packet an excellent letter from key banks outlining the difficulties that they've been having. They started out in part of their mergers with a state bank and then a national bank, or they're now a state bank, and at one time a portion was national bank, and it caused very different procedures for them. We also have a letter from Key Bank in Anchorage. Willis Kirkpatrick, Director of Banking, is here and has been supportive. There's a zero fiscal note, and if you did read the letter, you'd see that when they deal with various kinds of contracts, many times it goes over a year period of time, and it's just one of those little unnecessary things that they have to go through now to reanalyze and extend the letters of credit rather than allowing them to go say the terms of the contract. So with that, I'd be very happy to respond to any questions.
Thank you, Senator. Any questions for the finance sponsor?
Senator Sturzelski, do you know approximately how many letters of credit a bank like Key Bank issues? You talk about hundreds or thousands or a handful?
I would imagine, and the Division of Banking is here, Mr. Kirkpatrick, but since they are a commercial bank and deal not only within the state of Alaska but concentrate on Pacific Rim, I would think that it would be several hundreds, and I don't have any idea. Maybe Willis can give a better idea of being a banker, but I would think that there are a good number of them.
Do you want to call the witness, Representative Lee?
No, I can answer. I'm more curious if anything else.
Yeah. It varies the form of the letter of credit, but it could be several hundred over a year's time.
So this could be a nuisance, this whole issue.
Could you just state your name?
Willis Kirkpatrick, Director of Banking Securities for the state of Alaska. Yes.
Any further questions?
This makes a whole lot of sense to me. Is there any objection out in the banking community?
Absolutely none. Everybody's been supportive of it. This is one of those glitches that exist.
I'm glad you found it.
We don't have anyone else signed up to testify. Chair would entertain a motion to move the bill.
Mr. Chairman,
I would move that we pass out Senate Bill Number 174 with any presentations. Without objection. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you for your foundation hearing. Thank you.
Okay.
Next on the agenda, we have Commissioner McCurley up with us. Commissioner, want to join us?
I just thank you.
Didn't need to jump. We have the commissioner before us. At some point in time, we're going to have a joint session to deal with confirmation of the governor's appointment. The commissioner's just recently assumed his office. It's been about 2 or 3 months, I guess, 4 months. Session's all blurry, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you have any questions for him, Commissioner, if you'd like to make some opening remarks, you're welcome to. It's not necessary.
Okay, well, just very briefly, maybe a little bit about my background, which might explain a little bit of why I've ended up where I'm at. I've been the Commissioner of Designee since December. I've been the Acting Commissioner 3 months prior to that point. My background basically is in a host of small business activities and general economic development. So I've worked quite extensively, particularly in the last 2 years, in the Division of Business Development, dealing with a host of business issues, minerals, timber, fish, tourism, small business, and general economic development. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I just want to know, are you related to everybody with last name
Julia? Well, I think the recruiters are like Smith and Jones in Triple I.
Well, I've traveled throughout Alaska and certainly in Western Alaska, there's a lot of.
Further questions?
I just wanted to just comment that I've worked with Larry, if I can be so informal, in the past, and found him to be very good person to work with, and really confident in a long time Alaska.
Commissioner, I guess the only questions I have are as to your role on the Board of Directors of APA. I know you haven't been in that facility before this year, so you weren't privy to the budget decisions that were made there. But I think, at least from as an individual legislator's point of view, and from the point of view of the subcommittee the last 2 years that did exist over that budget, we've got a lot of concerns with how they run their ship over there and some of the things that they've done. And I think you were in the hearings yesterday where I expressed how they misrepresented the facts of budget hearings in a written request to authorize transfer of CIP money over to operating positions. And if in your role as director you can do anything to straighten them out, it can certainly add to the relationship between the legislature and APA, which reflects on the Department of Commerce.
Mr. Chairman, I certainly intend to look into that in light of comments that you made yesterday. I wasn't aware of what had transpired before, but if those kinds of things were happening, I think that I personally believe they should. So we will be looking into that.
Further questions? All right. Well, we really thank you for taking the time to be here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we need a motion to send to the floor on confirmations, or?
Representative
Donnelly,
it's a, you recommend that person be seated or not.
Well, Chair would entertain a motion to recommend that the Labor and Commerce Committee. So, okay. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, motion carries.
Not binding anybody individual vote.
Right. Yeah, you can make up your minds later. Next thing I'd like to bring up is House Bill 234, which is the safety equipment and containers. We do have a new committee substitute in your packets for that. Basically, the changes in the committee substitute are, number one, it no longer refers to the age.
Excuse me,
you said 234. 235. I'm sorry. 235. Basically, the changes are it takes out the age of an individual and now deals with the cubic size, so we don't have a void for vagueness problem. It also changes it so that the first penalty would be a violation level penalty, and it would only become a misdemeanor if they were their second offense would become a misdemeanor. Their first offense would be a violation, so the state troopers or local law enforcement could write somebody a ticket. If they didn't fix the problem, then it would become a misdemeanor. And the exemption is still in there for containers less than 1.5 cubic feet. For the benefit of our new member, the discussion previously was there's a lot of these type of containers that have locks that cannot be operated from the inside, and they're currently illegal in some capacity, but this it increases the enforcement capacity and makes it more specific. Most all new refrigerators are magnetic. They don't lock. You can just push the door from the inside and it'll open. But there are old ones that are left around that have latches on the outside, and those are the ones that this legislation is directed towards. It does have, I think, committee referrals back to us to judiciary. Which I'm sure will have exciting time. So I guess chair would entertain a motion to adopt the committee substitute for purposes of discussion.
David, we're going to let you make some motions here for a while.
Okay, without objection, okay, the committee substitutes before us. Did anybody have any item? There's no one to testify on this. Is there any further discussion? Chair would entertain a motion to move the bill and thank you for the recommendation.
Give my name in the recommendation.
Okay, without objection, hearing none, motion carries. Okay, next on our agenda is House Bill 182, our 15 page land surveyors. Anybody member of the public here to testify on this bill?
Yeah, if you need me, just turn up.
Right, and okay. Let's see what we got. Ginger, do you want to give us an explanation of some of the changes?
Yes, sir. I believe in your packets to be a copy of the notes that were sent to the drafter to ask to draft the committee substitute. Basically, the changes are from the original bill on page 2 at the bottom of the page, starting with 927, 6A, which used to read, these are the exemptions, people who do not have to be licensed as an architect, engineer, land surveyor, or use a licensed person. Person preparing, we deleted the word plans, because we've been informed by a resident engineer that that's a redundant phrase, and that drawings is the correct phrase. So it's now, it used to read a person preparing plans, drawings, or specifications for, it just now reads person preparing drawings or specifications for. A used to read a building for a person's own use and occupancy unless the public health, safety, or welfare is substantially involved. That's been replaced with the phrase a building for a person's own use and occupancy as a single family residence. Paragraph 6B on page 3, line 3, has been left as was in the bill as filed. Paragraph C has been left as filed. Paragraph D on page 3, beginning on line 8, has been deleted and replaced with, used to read, a building that is not intended for public use and it consists of not more than 1,000 square feet of floor space unless the public health, safety, and welfare is involved. It now reads, a garage, a workshop, or similar building that contains less than 2,000 square feet of floor space for private, non-commercial application. There's been a new section 4 added to the bill. I should add, wherever the word plans appeared in the bill, that's been deleted now and replaced with drawings. There's a new section 4 of the bill that would have been inserted on page 3, about line 21, and that comes from, that deals with the status of a person's teaching architect and engineering and land surveying courses, and this new language, new section 4, that says, a person who is hired by an institution of higher learning to teach advanced architectural engineering or land surveying courses shall have 18 months from the date of hire to fulfill the registration requirement of this chapter, provided nothing herein shall authorize such a person to perform architectural engineering or land services other than teaching until such time as a person is registered under the chapter. Paragraph B is an exemption for persons who are hired for on a temporary basis. In other words, you can practice for a year and not have to be licensed. You can teach for a year and not have to be licensed. The only other changes to the bill that are technical in nature, and that is that, again, the word plans has been deleted, replaced with drawing, and the sections have been renumbered accordingly.
Okay. Is anybody from Representative Greenberg's office here?
They are not. So they're tied up with the judiciary committee. There is. I did have a discussion in your packets with the committee substitute. There is a legal opinion from Terry Bannister, a drafter that worked on the bill, that speaks to potential equal protection problems because this bill contains a transition clause for certain people, specifically those people who are currently working for the state and or a public, a poly subdivision of the state in an official capacity and have to do this kind of architecture, engineering, land survey work in the course of their employment. It does not, however, provide a transitional provision for those people that may be affected by the changes on paragraph 6A. It used to read that a person could basically on their own property build anything they wanted with no limitations. Now we are saying under this bill that a person can only build a building that's used as a single family residence. the reality of the situation is that no one will ever be cited under this section, and that the equal protection problems only come into play when somebody may be threatened with citation or limitations on what they're doing on their own property because of this bill. That would not happen. There would never be a citation issued under such a circumstance. This problem is complicated by the fact that the bill has an immediate effective date. And there's been a suggestion made that perhaps one way to get around it would be to delete on page 6 of the CS section 11 that provides for an immediate effective date, simply have no effective date, in which case the measure would go into effect in 90 days and give everybody ample warning about what's happening before they might get caught in the crossfire. That was Representative Gruenberg's staff's legal opinion, was that there were no equal protection problems that were significant that were presented by this bill because of that a person would not be cited under this section.
Okay. Chair would entertain a motion to adopt the proposed community substitute for purposes of discussion or consideration.
I move to adopt any CS or HB 182.
And without objection, the substitute is before us. I guess we've got one option, whether or not we want to have an effective date on it. Mr. Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, I don't see a particularly good reason to have an immediate effective date. I am not aware of any compelling interest that would be served in having that, and I think consistent with Representative Gruenberg's desire to delete effective dates wherever we don't really need them, I find that in this case it makes a whole lot of sense. And if the motion's in order, I move to amend the CS by deleting section 11.
Okay, so any objection? And the objection was carried. Further discussion? Is that Lehman?
Just in response to Ginger's comments and to this note by Terry Bannister on the equal protection, I agree. I don't see it as being a challenge. And for one other reason that she didn't mention is that the transitional provisions are in there because it does take time for somebody to get registered. If they aren't now registered, it takes time to study for the exam, take the exam, wait for the results, and get registered. And that amount of time is longer than if you're in the process of designing a building, and the difference is going and hiring an architect or an engineer to assist with the building. That is something that can take place almost immediately, whereas the other takes time. And so I think the two situations are somewhat different, and I think one could argue that there's legitimate reason to have a longer transitional period for those other situations than there would be for the circumstance where you may have a building that now would fall under or would not fall under the exemption, but it would be required to have somebody registered. But I don't see it as being a real challenge.
Okay. Well, let's go on. Let's take. Okay. Further discussion? Motion? President Lehman?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass CS for 182 on to the next committee referral with individual recommendations.
Okay, committee has been moved. Is there any objection?
I think it still moves.
Representative Finkelstein, do you have any objection to moving this bill? Okay, without objection, motion carries.
Thank you. Is that the bill before?
Last matter on the agenda is. Do we have that?
We're ready to pass it out. We just didn't want to put it in a bunch of papers.
Pass it out. We've gotten, I'm sure the same as you have, a lot of POMs concerned about local hire on the cleanup effort at Prince William Sound. Representative Boyer and I have both sponsored resolutions in the past that related to the federal government and how they have a much less constitutional restrictions on their abilities to enact local hire requirements than state government does. But we thought it'd be appropriate to solicit Congress that
that they enact legislation to ensure that for such disasters, and there's the intervention of local agencies, that local residents receive a employment preference in the cleanup operations conducted by federal agencies, and that agencies involved in the cleanup efforts consider the advantage of employing local workforces before considering importing any other group, including the military. And so I wanted to bring this before the committee and see if there was any objection in introducing this as a committee resolution.
Yes, we have to fix that.
Humans made disaster.
Where's this?
Oh, the title is this man made disaster.
Do women make disasters?
Never. So maybe we don't need women.
I mean, if you want to, take credit for disasters, then.
How about unnatural disasters? Disasters caused by.
I just leave it alone. That's somebody ragging around on the floor.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyhow, we can do a technical amendment on the title to fix that. But if there's no objection, I would go ahead and introduce this committee resolution. Okay, without objection, we'll do that. We're working on a draft of other legislation the committee may wish to consider. That would focus on this particular cleanup.
Yes, we have a second resolution coming that is asking Congress to enact. We understand that the cleanup operations in Prince William Sound will take some time, probably several years, and we would like to. We have a separate resolution coming asking Congress to enact, asking our congressional delegation to introduce legislation that would give a hiring preference for local Alaskans on that cleanup operation. But because it's a separate issue, and we felt that it would make more sense to have two separate resolutions, one speaking to disasters that may occur in the future anywhere in the nation, and then one speaking specifically to the harm that's been caused to the residents of Prince William Sound and adjacent areas.
So anyhow, we're thinking along those lines. We'll put something in, we'll bring it before the committee probably in a week or so. With that, I guess we'll go ahead and...
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, what's in place?
I passed out here about 10 days ago a draft of a bill that the electric utility folks were looking to have sponsored by the committee, mm-hmm. and no one had objection to that. The polling we kind of did, so I wonder if we couldn't get that, go ahead and have it put in as a committee.
At least one person had objection.
I haven't even dug into it yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who was the problem with
it? Well, some people have problems with the language that dealt with the lobbying fees.
Oh, yeah, right.
Ooh.
Yes, that's right. I did. We were thinking if we could knock out it's the first section of the bill, is with the lobbying, and the testimony was that they didn't feel that was their weakest section of the three. So we may be, let's try to put another draft.
Let's just knock out section one and it becomes a two-section bill and then put it in. Okay. It's fine with me, and I think it's fine with utilities too. They'd like it, but it's not the essential thing that they want.
Okay, well then what I'd like to do is bring it for a committee next Tuesday when we get the whole troop here and see what we can do.
Okay.
We've got a problem with this corporations code. Last year there was a new corporations code that was adopted by the state. It's scheduled to go into effect July 1. There's a whole series of amendments that have been introduced to it, and there's objections to some of the amendments and requests to change them. It's liable to get to quite a nasty fight, and one of the things that I'm going to discuss with Chairman Lassen on the other side is the potential to delay the corporation code for a year so we could work on it over the interim before it goes into effect, so we don't have changes after it goes into effect. So I just wanted to let the committee know that we were looking into that, see what could work out there. Because I've asked the Senate, and they're not even taking the subject up. They won't even basically talk about it. I mean, any amendments. So, Representative Lehman?
I've received a call from a woman who deals in the corporate, dealing with corporate code, and her comments were much the same. She said there's some changes that were made that, starts going to affect really wreak havoc, and her suggestion was it was probably delayed, but the best thing right now is to hold it off.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the move.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have a bill before the committee to do that, and I'm going to be talking to Senator Lassen to see if he would look favorably upon that, too, so we can stall this thing so we can work on it. Because maybe we could do a joint Senate and House Labor and Congress work on it this summer. See what we can hammer out. So we got a draft of that coming. Okay. Well, with that, I'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting.
Did you want some anchors? Anytime.